discuss this, that just because a person was blessed at a certain point for a certain action that they had, doesn't mean they were always right. Doesn't mean they were perfect. And in the same way that we might do one thing that's very praiseworthy and very commendable on one day, and the next day we might turn around and do something that's despicable. And that's certainly the case with some of these individuals. In particular, this first one. In Judges chapter 17, we remember the time of the judges. One of the statements that describes it best is said that every man did what was right in his own eye. And that certainly described this time period of the judges, and certainly some of the people involved, and this man in particular, may not have been very righteous in some of the things that he did, but some of the things that he did can be an example to us. Isn't that the way it is with almost everyone we've ever met? Maybe they're not perfect, certainly we don't want to be just like them, but there is something that we can learn from those individuals. Thompson said, everyone's good for something, even if it's just to serve as a bad example. And we all need those. We all need to see, what will happen if I live my life in such a way? Well, we can look at some of those individuals and we can see the misery and the suffering that sin brought. Now, this particular fellow, by the name of Micah, now this isn't the same Micah that wrote the book in the Bible called Micah. Understand that clearly. This is a different Micah. Different time period. This was before the times of most of the prophets, and certainly of the prophets that are written about in, or that have books named after them, certainly. But Micah does something that is commendable, despite the fact that some of the other things he does are certainly not worthy of praise. This is one thing that he does. His mother had apparently lost or had stolen 1,100 shekels of silver. Now, that's somewhere around 28 pounds. Okay, so 28 pounds of silver could be worth quite a bit. It probably would have been worth more then than it would be now. But still, that's a lot of money, a lot of value that she had stolen. And in verse 2 of chapter 17 in the book of Judges, Micah says to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. His mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord. Here's a man who confessed his wrongdoing and made it right. He gave her back the money that he had stolen from her, and he confessed. There are a lot of people today who only confess to wrongdoing when they get caught. He wasn't caught. She didn't know he had it. He owned up to the wrongdoing right away, and admitted that he had taken it, and he gave it back to his mother. And because of that, his mother says, blessed be thou of the Lord. Certainly, when we confess our wrongdoing, and when we make it right, that can bring a blessing down on us. How much misery do we suffer because of wrongdoing that we have in our lives, and that we keep covered up and hidden? That we don't want anybody else to know about. We think, well, nobody will know, it won't hurt anybody. But we feel guilty about it, and we suffer knowing that we've done things that aren't pleasing to God's sight, and knowing that He knows about it, even if nobody else does. Micah here, because of his willingness to confess his sin, to make it right, is better. Now, unfortunately, what happens with the money, the silver later on, certainly is something that isn't beneficial to the cause of God. His mother goes and buys him some idols with it. But that also goes to show us sometimes that even when we've done wrong to someone, we to make it right regardless of what might be the end result with them. And this, of course, would come into play with paying our taxes or any number of things like that. And they say, well, yeah, but if I give them my taxes, they're going to do all sorts of horrible things with it. Well, that may very well be, but it's our responsibility to do what's right. And then other people have to answer to God for what they do. So here Micah confessed his theft, he returned what had been stolen, and then his mother did ungodly things with what was returned. But we don't need to get the idea, well, she just kept it. But that certainly may be the way we would feel sometimes. The second one we see is in the book of Ruth. And since there aren't very many men in the book of Ruth, you can probably guess who it is. Remember, Ruth herself was called blessed by Boaz in chapter 3 and verse 10. But here in chapter 2 and verses 19 and 20, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi calls down a blessing on someone. She said, her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? It was the habit, it was the law under the law of Moses, that when they harvested their fields, if they dropped a piece here or there, they couldn't go back and pick it up. They left the corners of the fields. They didn't harvest the corners. And those pieces that they, of grain that they may drop, or you know, like we might say, an ear of corn or some wheat that fell on the, they didn't go back and clean that up and pick that up like a lot of our farmers today. Boy, they make sure they get every last stalk, every little bit of it. But they didn't do that under the Old Testament law. God had commanded that they leave those that dropped and those that were in the corners of the field, those were to be left for the poor. And so when Naomi mentioned gleaning, that's what she's talking about. Ruth and Naomi were certainly poor. Neither one of them had a husband to support them. And unlike today's culture, women didn't get jobs outside their homes that made money or that made a living much out in the time that Ruth was living. And so she was going out to the field and picking up those stray pieces that had fallen and carrying them home to feed herself and her mother-in-law. And that's what's referred to as gleaning here. And she asked, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Where did you work? Where were you working today to get this food? And then she says, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. So we see here Boaz being kind and showing kindness to Ruth. Now he had to, under the law, he had to allow her to glean in his field. But he did more than that. If we look back a few verses from verse 19, we see that when he finds her and sees her, you know, as with today, the same people that were poor yesterday are still poor today, and they're poor tomorrow, and they, a lot of times, when once someone gets into that cycle of poverty, they get stuck there for a long time. So Boaz knew who came to his fields to glean, and he recognized them when they would come. When Ruth came, she was a new face. He said, well, what's this? Who's this young lady that's coming here to go? And so he told his harvesters to watch out for her, make sure nobody bothered her, and he told them to drop a little extra so that she could pick it up. So he showed a good deal of kindness. He went beyond what the law said he had to do. He actually gave her some protection, and he gave her more than what normally would have been given. And so we see that Boaz, in showing his kindness, receives a blessing as a result of that. And we too can realize when we're greedy and we try to hang on to everything that we get. Now certainly, if we give away everything we've got and we become poor, we haven't accomplished anything. But we need to be willing to help those that are in greater need than we are. Certainly we have examples of that throughout the Old and New Testament, where individuals were willing to give in order to help others. We need to do that is blessed here. Blessed by Saul. Now, under the circumstances, Saul might have just been trying to kiss up, as we might say. He might have been trying to get on Samuel's good side, because Saul had just done something that was unforgivable. He had broken God's law and had been very arrogant in doing it. But when Samuel comes to him in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 13, Samuel comes to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." That second part is a flat-out lie. In fact, Saul had disobeyed God, but he's trying to butter up the priest. And certainly, he is disappointed in Samuel's response. But regardless of Saul's actions, his words there are true when he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord," referring to Samuel, because Samuel certainly was. Samuel was a prophet and a priest and a judge during this time. In fact, Samuel was the last of the judges. Samuel had anointed Saul to be king. And in the very next chapter after this, he goes to anoint David to be king because of Saul's wrongdoing. Samuel certainly was a special person, chosen by God and blessed by God. Even from the time that he was a child, he served in the temple day and night, serving God. And God spoke to him. You remember that. And Samuel would get up in the night and come running to Eli. "What did you want?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Happened again. Came, "What did you want?" "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Third time, "What did you want?" "I didn't call you, but I know what's happening. The Lord's calling you." Now, today, the Lord doesn't call us in quite that way. But He still does call us through His Word. And we have to answer that call. Just as Samuel had to answer the call in his day and age, we have to answer the call of the Lord in our day and age. But Samuel, who was prophet, and priest, and judge, working in the temple day and night, was certainly one that we could learn a lot from. He never cheated the people. He always did them right. Even as an old man, when his children, who were not as righteous as he, began to do the people wrong, people still had to acknowledge that, "No, Samuel, you never did us wrong a single time." So we need to take that as an example for ourselves. And then we see fourth, David. King David. And here again is another example of someone who at one point could do something that would be very worthy of praise, at another time could be do something that's worthy of condemnation. We know about so many of David's faults, but doesn't that give us hope? Because David is considered to be a man after God's own heart. And that lets us know that we too can have all of the faults that we have, all of the flaws, all of the mistakes that we make, and we can still be pleasing to God, just as David was. But David, in 1 Samuel chapter 26, he spares Saul's life. And after he spares Saul's life, it's not the first time he spared Saul's life. But after he spares Saul's life, Saul says to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David," verse 25, verse 18. "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Saul said David would be blessed, and that he would do great things. We might look at our lives and we might think, you know, he's never done great things. But I doubt that that's true. When we obey the gospel, that's a great thing. When we help teach others about the truth, that's a great thing. We may not be famous like some actor or actress or sports star. We may not make decisions that affect the whole country like a president or a king or anyone like that. But we can do great things nonetheless. And like David, when we do, things, we will be blessed. In this case, the great thing that David did was to spare someone's life. He could have taken Saul's life. He could have killed Saul right there. He had every opportunity. But he didn't do it. He passed that opportunity up because he didn't want to shed that blood. So he had done a great thing. We too can learn from his example. David, of course, was anointed as king over God's people. Not much chance of any of us getting anointed to that position. But we can still be influences, and we can still affect everyone's life, the life of everyone that we meet, and affect each and every person. Then as we move into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16, we see Simon Peter. And again, Simon Peter did some things that weren't very praiseworthy. He stuck his foot in his mouth a lot. Sometimes he had both feet up to his knees in his mouth at the same time. That's the kind of fellow he was. But he was quick to tell it like he saw it. Sometimes he saw it right. And this is one of those cases. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 16 and 17. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, that is, son of John, son of Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Why was Peter blessed? Why did Jesus call this blessing down on him? Because he made the confession of faith. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus will be just as pleased with us today when we make that confession. We need to be making that confession every day, not so much that we just stand up and say, "Jesus, we know you're the Son of God," but that we, in our daily lives, live like we believe that he's the Son of God. And by that, show to others that he truly is the Son of God. So that wraps up the five men, but there's one more. I imagine you probably know who this is. Jesus himself is called blessed. He, I guess, is a man as well, but also he is God. Luke chapter 19 and verse 38 says, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Blessed be the King. Jesus is the King. And because of that, he had all sorts of blessings and honor bestowed upon him. In John chapter 12, verse 13, the people took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Certainly there were other instances where people referred to Jesus as being blessed. And he certainly was the Messiah, Savior of the world. We talked about David being blessed because he did great things. None of the things that David did can come close to comparing to what Christ did. Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. Christ did what no one else could do. He gave himself for the sins of the world. So we've seen now these men, and we can learn, even men and women both, can learn from these individuals how to behave ourselves. We can learn the blessing of confessing our sin and making it right. We can learn the blessing of showing kindness to those around us. We can learn the blessing of being obedient to God's will and answering His call to service. We can learn the blessing of doing great things. The great things that we can do may not be things that will make us famous in this world's eyes. We may never be known outside the city of Butler or outside of Choctaw County, but we can still do great things for God. And then we need to learn the blessing of confessing the Lord, not just with our mouth, but with our actions as well. And then, of course, we need to never forget that Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, is truly blessed. And we need to give Him all of the honor and glory that He is due because of who He is and what He's done. tonight, you have a need to respond to the invitation. If you perhaps have not done the things that you should as a Christian, perhaps you confessed Jesus at the time that you obeyed the gospel, but you haven't been confessing Him the way that you live, or you've been letting Him down in some way, you may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.